Yeah, good morning, church. We thank God for the opportunity to share His word. Even though we can't meet physically in a church, I mean, it makes us understand more that church is not a building. It is our unity, and it is all the people who know Christ all together. This morning, it's a privilege again to bring the word to you. The passage I'm going to be sharing on is from the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Please open your Bibles to Matthew 28. And we are going to read from verse 16. So Matthew 28 from verse 16. I'm going to read the passage and then pray before we start. The passage is entitled The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, our Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you that even sickness and even corona cannot separate us from your presence. And thank you for this opportunity to have communion with you, to share from your word. And I pray for all those who come this morning to listen to you, not to me, Lord. I have nothing to tell them, but you have something to tell them. And Father, I pray that you prepare their hearts to receive this word. And I pray that you meet their needs. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So the passage is called the Great Commission. It is almost known to every believer. This is the title here I'm reading from. I just read from the NIV version. So I would like to start this sermon with two short stories. The first story is from my own life. I mean, it concerns me and my family. And the second story is from the Bible. Now let me start from the first story. Maybe it might not be clear to you in the beginning, but I will later during the sermon tell you why these stories I'm telling you have to do with the passage I'm reading. Just 2 weeks ago, my nephew, this is my brother's son, I noticed on his WhatsApp profile that he wrote something in Arabic. And I was just wondering what was going on. And then he started asking me questions about Islam and questioning something concerning the Bible, using the most common argument used by Muslims to try to say that Muhammad was predicted in the Bible, just to try to say that Muhammad is a prophet. And in the end, he asked me the question that he was about to be converted to Islam. And he asked me of my opinion. I mean, he was at the edge of making that decision, and he had even started posting those things on his profile. And when he told me that, my heart really grieved. I was really very sad because of that. I prayed with him, and I told him. And I told him to take time, and I discussed with him over 2 days. I was really praying for him, and these 2 nights, I couldn't sleep. I was praying for him, discussing with him, till the very end that he told me that, thank you, uncle, that I had the opportunity to discuss with you. I won't become a Muslim. This is the first story. The second story is a non-story from the Bible. It is the story of the Gadarene that is told in Mark chapter 5. The Gadarene was a man who was demon-possessed, and he was living in the tombs with dead people. Nobody could help him. He couldn't help himself. And he was thinking he was okay. He was happy with the kind of life he was living. He was convinced that he was in the right place, whereas he was living among the dead. Now coming to the link between the stories and my sermon, it makes us clear to see how important, how relevant the Great Commission should be in our today's society. We are not anymore living in a place where just we have to stay in our place and maybe think that God will do the work only by himself. He will do it, by the way. But the Great Commission takes a different position. It has a relevant role in our society today, because we see that Islam is growing and it is spreading false teachings using the Bible, misinterpreting the Bible to say that the Bible is wrong on the one side. On the other side, we have atheism. Atheism nowadays is not anymore atheism. It is anti-theism. I mean, the people that do not believe in God, they don't just want to stay like that and not believe, but they also are ready to keep others that want to believe from believing in God. I mean, taking these two examples into consideration, it's really important for us to think about the Great Commission, what it means to us, what God is expecting from us, and what we are to do as believers. So the first thing we need to know about the Great Commission is that the Great Commission is a commandment from our Lord Jesus Christ. This is not an alternative. This is not something like first thing that we say that we are going to do it if we want. This is not something we can do if we want. We have to obey the word of God when it comes to the Great Commission. It is a commandment from God. It is not something optional. And this is not only something for pastors or for the leadership team in our church, but the Great Commission is addressed to everybody that is a believer. So we've just seen that we are attacked by all sides, because if we don't go to the world will come to us, not only to seek the word, but to question what we are doing. But despite these attacks and difficulties in sharing the good news, it is important to know two things. The first thing is that Jesus said in verse 18 of the Great Commission's message that we just read, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So when we are sharing the gospel, it is important to know that first, it's a commandment. Second, that we are not doing it alone, that Jesus is with us till the end of the times. And secondly, he says that he is with us. He is with us. We are not alone. We are not doing it on our own. We are not doing it based on our own wisdom, on our own strength. But he himself is with us, sustaining us with the strength, with the words, with the wisdom we need to do what we are doing. Just like the example I took with my nephew. I didn't know where to start, but after prayer, God gave me wisdom on how to discuss with him and how to pray for him. So the Great Commission is a commandment. It's a commandment. And as a justification, we often hear that people will say, I am not gifted, I cannot speak well, and I cannot talk in front of people. But the Great Commission is not primarily about preaching in the church. There are many ways in which we can share the gospel without even using the Bible, even without even going to church. So it cannot be a justification for us to say that we are not qualified to share the good news. Once you are a believer, you are qualified to share the gospel. You are qualified to share the good news that you've heard from Christ. So the good news for you is that you are qualified from the beginning. Very important to know, you are qualified to share the gospel. You don't even need to attend a Bible school. You don't even need to be a pastor or a deacon or to be a member in the leadership team. Once you believe in God, you are qualified to share the gospel. But how do we do that? How do we do that? You need to work with Jesus to do that. Because some years ago, I was having discussing with a friend, and she was just telling me that she's going in a church, but she just noticed that the pastor is not believing in what he is saying. That a pastor is just preaching just mere words, and she could notice that the words that the pastor was preaching was not from his heart. It was just something that he used to encourage people while he himself wasn't believing in it. So if you want to share the gospel, if you want to fulfill and obey God in respecting the Great Commission, you first need to be yourself a believer. So what do we need? What do we need if we want to share the gospel? Do we need weapons or do we need money? Just remember, when Jesus was training the disciples, we read the story in Luke chapter 9, that Jesus selected 70 other disciples and he sent them two by two to go and preach the good news. And he told them, this is something very important we need to know if we are sharing the gospel, to know what we need to share the gospel. We read in Luke chapter 9, verse 3, that he told them, that is Jesus telling them, take nothing for the journey. Nothing. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. I mean, this can be interpreted in two ways. On one way, we just have to understand that in sharing the gospel, we need to trust God. We need to put our confidence, to have confidence in God, that he will help us to fulfill the commandment that he has given us. And the second part is that sharing the gospel is not about corrupting people. It is not about bribing people. It is not about forcing people to accept our religion. That's why Jesus said, take no weapon. They didn't need a weapon. We don't have to go like to do jihad and to shoot people and to force them to believe in us. No, we don't even have to use food to bring people to accept God. What we have is the word of life, the word of God that we have. We are going to share, and we are going to do that in confidence with God. So the aim, what is the aim of the Great Commission? What is the aim of sharing the gospel? Or what should be our motivation? Because most of the time, the success of our gospel sharing depends on not only whether the word is true or not. The word of God is powerful. The Bible says it is powerful. Nothing can change it. But the success of the gospel doesn't only depend on that, but it also depends on how wise we are in doing that, on the methods and the ways we are using to share the gospel. The first thing we need to know is that it's sharing the gospel is primarily not about making people change their religion. It is not about making people change their religion. And never it's just a perception that many non-believers have from the Christian faith. Because I remember when we used to be in the university, we were having a book stand where we will expose Christian books and allow non-believers in the university to come and discuss with us. And that one day, a guy who was not a believer came to us and we asked him, what do you think of what we are doing? And he told us that, well, I'm not going to tell you only what I believe, but I'm going to tell you what other people believe from you. And he told us that most people I know here in the university that are not believers, when they see Christians, they think like, well, these people are Christians, they just want to convert me. I just don't want to go and see them. But this is the wrong perception, and we can change it in the way we share the gospel, in the way we share the good news. So the good news is not about making people change their religion. It is bringing them to know God, to know the master of the universe, to know the one that gave them life, to know the one that gives them oxygen to breathe, as just we read from the song that we were singing. So How do we do that? I'm just going to mention some ways, some methods, or make some suggestions how we can be sharing the good news successfully. So the starting point of sharing the gospel is not even going out. Because if we go out, to give something. And if we don't have anything, we can't give what we do not have. So just as I said, the starting point of making disciples is to be yourself a disciple. That is to be a follower of Christ. And if you are a follower of Christ and obey him, the differences between you and non-believers would be visible to everybody without even needing to read the Bible. So it can even start by going to church. I mean, I don't mean that going to church is enough. I don't mean that going to church makes people believers. But I just want to show how the minimal things we do can influence people, can impact their life to think about God and to think about the good news. So if you are a disciple, you are a follower of Christ, and the light of Christ that he has put on you will be visible. So let the fruits of salvation be visible in you. I can say let even the fruits of the Holy Spirit be visible in you. So the Bible describes some fruits of the Holy Spirit like kindness, joy, love, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Not that all these things lead to salvation, but just as the Bible says, they are the fruit of salvation. They are the consequences of salvation. And if they are part of your life, if you live them, they will just be an indicator to others that you are different, that you are serving the living God. Because, brothers, there are times where you can't just succeed by telling people what the Bible says. I mean, even among the believers, we have skeptics, like Thomas, for example, who wanted to see before he believes. There are times where it will be our own experience with Christ which will serve us as a starting point or as a stool to be used in situations to share the good news. So reflect the love of God. Reflect God's peace. So let the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of salvation, be visible in you. That's the first part. The second part is let your light shine. Let the light of God shine in you. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was saying that Matthew 5 verse 15, neither do people put a lamp to light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. So the light that God has put in you is not something to be hidden. You can't hide it. You can't hide that you are a believer. You can't hide the love of God in you. You can't hide the word of God in you. It is so powerful. It's like a tree in you. When a tree is inside of you, whether you want it or not, it will grow and its grasses, its branches will come out. It will make people see that there is something in you, that there is a seed that God has sown in you. So be a light. Be the light. Let the light of God that God has put in you shine before you think about going out. So going, this doesn't mean that we just have to try to live a good life, but we have to reflect the kind of life that God wants from us. We have to make people see God through us. Just remember this quote from the movie God's Not Dead, where the student was defending the Christian faith in the university. And before he do that, he went to ask a pastor if that was a good idea. He went to ask the pastor if he will do that. And I really like the way the pastor answered him. And the pastor asked him what he thought, how many of his colleagues in the university will enter a church one day. He said, probably never. They will never enter a church. And he told him that, well, and I think this is the reason why you think you have to defend God in the university, because this might be the only opportunity for them to hear from God.
And sometimes the only opportunity for people to hear from God, even to think about God, is just to see you as a believer, how you live your life. This is the starting point, being a disciple by your lifestyle, in your marriage. Let your light shine where you are. Another point is testimony, because the disciples said in Acts that they cannot stop sharing about what they have seen and what they have heard. And in the university, again, when I was studying in Bielefeld, we had this book stand again, and a Muslim student came to us, and on that day, we had used that verse from the Acts of the Apostles on a banner, and we just put it on a banner, and it was written, "We cannot stop talking about what we have seen and what we have heard." And when the Muslim guy came to me, he never asked me, "What does the Bible say?" He didn't ask me, "What do you believe?" He pointed out to the verse and he asked me, "What have you seen and what have you witnessed?" So, you know, in times like that, folks, you know that you can't even start up by quoting only a Bible verse. You're going to have to mention some miracles that God have done in your life. You're going to share with them your own testimony. Your own testimony can be a tool for you to share the good news with other people. So I'm now coming to the conclusion. Why should we go to the world and not only invite people to church? Why should we do that? I first spoke about our own life, that we should reflect God's love, we should be disciples, and that we should let the light of God shine in us before we go out. Going out should be the next step after we have been disciples, after we have been followers of God. So now, why should we go out? Gloria and I. Why should we go out and share the gospel? We read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, that what is God's will? Why do we have the Great Commission? The Bible says that 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 4, "This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants," this is what God wants, "who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." God wants all people to be saved. He wants everybody to come to the... Hello? Can you hear me? Well, what happened? I can't hear the people anymore. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, I can also hear you, but sometimes your picture is gone. Something has interfered with it, yeah.
Okay. Wait a minute, just a second. So sorry, I'm back now. My assistant preachers here are disturbing me. Sorry for that. So I need to find out where I stopped. I was about concluding now. So I was sharing about why we should go to the world and not only invite people to church. And God's will, His plan, is that all men hear the good news and are saved. It's not that God primarily wants somebody to go to hell. I like that because I have one of my best friends online right now from Cameroon. He doesn't believe in God. And if you have been seeing, if you are my friend on Facebook, you must have noticed that these last weeks I've been discussing with him about the salvation and things like, does God love us if He has created hell to send people to hell? And most of the time I really like C.S. Lewis' answer, that he said that there are two kinds of people in the world. People who say to God, "God, your will be done." And people who say to God, "No, God, I don't know you," and God will tell them, "Your will be done." So whether a man goes to hell or to paradise, it will be his choice. But God wants every person
to be saved. He wants each of us to come to the knowledge of salvation. That is the first reason why we should go and share the good news. The second thing is the gathering in Mark chapter 5 is one of my best or favorite chapters in the Bible when it comes to the description of the situation of the non-believers, of the people who really need to hear God, who really need to see God. And if we look into the life of the gathering, I will just mention three things that really have to bring out our compassion to share the word of God. So the first thing is the gathering was living in the tomb. He was living among the dead people. This should be and can be an image that if somebody doesn't have God, he's separated from God. He is already dead, the first thing. Second point is the gathering was saying that he is okay, whereas he wasn't okay. He refused the help of the people and he left the living and was living with the dead. And this is what we have most of the time in the world. People saying, I am fine with the kind of life I am living. Homosexuality is good. Sexual immorality is good. Whatever I want to live, it is good. People think they are fine, whereas they are not. So these two points should be very important for us to understand. First, that God wants people to be saved. And the second point is, if we look deeper into the life of non-believers, we will really discover how needy they are, even though they tell us they don't want to hear that. How needy they need help from God, not only from us. So, to conclude, be the reflection of God's character before we even think about going out. Going out should be the last step, the next step of sharing the gospel, of giving what we have. If we do not have something in ourselves, we cannot give it to the world and we cannot share something. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that even Corona can't stop your church going on. We thank you for the opportunity to share your word online, for the opportunity to understand that church is made up of men and not of a building. And I pray that your word that have just been shared will bear fruits in the hearts of people who do not know you. And I pray that your word will continue to convince them to open their eyes to meet you. And Father, I pray for forgiveness for all those who have rejected you, that you will open a window again for them to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what's the...